All right, welcome back to another episode of Everyday Ecclesiology. I'm Daniel Greenhall.
And I'm his wife, Desiree Greenhall.
And our goal in this podcast is to explore what it looks like for laymen within the local church. Why are you laughing?
Because why are you laughing?
I don't know. You look like you were starting to laugh. Anyway, our goal in this podcast, can you tell it's been a bit since we've podcasted?
Yeah.
To explore what it looks like for laymen within the local church to be faithful members of the local church. So how can the layman faithfully serve within the local church? What does that look like? It's been a while. We've had some things going on. We've had some sickness going around. We've had some things come up. So I think that's everything.
Yeah. Mostly, last week we would have been able to podcast, but you were like, my voice can't make it through a whole podcast.
I've just today at work, I realized that I was able to sing again without going into a coughing fit.
Yeah.
So that was really nice. It was like middle of the afternoon. I was like, wow, I think I'm going to listen to some music. I don't normally listen to music at work because it makes the workday seem long.
Mm-hmm.
Because like a song is between 3 and 5, maybe 6 minutes long, 10 if it's the Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. But most of the songs are like not very long. And so then you get through like 10 songs. You're like, wow, it's been 1 hour.
Yeah.
So, or actually no, it'd be like 12. 13 songs, something like that, would be like 1 hour. You're like, whoa, I got so many to go, especially when I work 12-hour shifts most of the time. 10 hours today, it was a little bit less. I listened to an album of Spanish music, not like classical Spanish music, but like they're not hymns, but like worship music.
Yeah.
I use that term loosely. Yeah. Worship music by, is it, I don't want to say the wrong one.
Sovereign Grace?
That's what I was thinking. I think it's Sovereign Grace music.
That's the one that you've played on the TV a few times.
Yeah, that one. Because I'm trying, that's not an endorsement of their music. That's not, I don't like their music. I've been using it as a tool to learn more Spanish because I generally know what they're singing about and I kind of know the music style and I can pick up on words here and there. And I'm okay with listening to that type of Spanish music at work much more than I'm okay with listening to like
even
the Spanish music that people at work listen to.
Even learning a language, sometimes you might learn Spanish in the workforce, but you're not going to get the whole other side of Christianity talk type language. I know my mom has found that even with sign language, because sometimes she would like to do sign language songs at church, but she would have to like figure out the words for
because the vocab for that
and
is very different,
and rather than just what her textbooks have.
Yeah, like when I took the Spanish class at work, I knew that it was not going to be enough to help me share the gospel with somebody, but it was at least a starting point and an intro to learning the language. And so I was listening to some of that today. Now that I could actually sing again, and because I could sing again, that means I was good enough to talk again, which means we get to podcast tonight.
Yay!
Whew.
I brought it all the way back around.
I'm impressed that I brought my rabbit trail all the way
good
back.
Job.
Yes, we were both looking forward to it. We're going through a fun book when we get there. I don't think I introduced this podcast, but probably, no, I introduced it, but I don't think I said segments or anything.
We'll
but
start with who we are.
I was going to say we don't need it this time because people probably know by now.
Okay.
But you can go ahead. You haven't done it before.
Then we'll talk about what we're doing.
Yep.
We've been sick, so that's what we've been doing.
Pretty much.
We're talking about what we're learning, which we're going through a book this week, what we learned from the book. And then what we're reading.
Yeah.
That's it.
There was a couple more things we're doing on Memorial Day coming up. Wait, by the time you listen to this.
It will have been after Memorial
Day. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to work on our lawn, thanks to a friend from church. He's going to come over and help us try to fix our lawn because it's pretty bad. You want to add to that?
Yeah. It's just, I can't let the kids go in the backyard and say, go play. I have to have them within sight every second.
I mean,
second.
You could if you're okay with dealing with ouchies because of thistles and long-term ouchies because of poison ivy.
Right, which but I'm not.
Yeah.
So it's...
Which some would be like, well, that's just a part of life. Well, maybe for some it is, but it doesn't have to be, and it is preventable, and it's within our means to prevent it, so we're going to try. Especially having other people over to be considerate of them and their kids. It's a step that I think would be helpful for us to take. It doesn't mean if anyone has a backyard that has poison ivy, it is wrong to have people over. That's not what we're saying.
Right. Well, we did have a bunch of people over, and then it was like 5 days later, I discovered the poison ivy, and I hope nobody got it, because I felt terrible, because kids were just out there playing, exploring, doing what kids do, and I want them to be able to do that.
Yeah.
But we definitely have not had people over until we get this taken care of. So.
But we also bought some lights for that and put them up. I think we've talked about that a little bit.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm excited to have help for this big portion, like getting it, the jump start, and then doing the general upkeep will be work, but...
I mean, I've mowed it. Don't get me wrong. I've mowed our lawn.
Yeah.
But that's like a very basic
step. We haven't
step.
Participated in no-mow-may.
Yeah.
Not here.
Let's see, what else? I fixed our lawnmower. That was something else we did. I had the wheel fall off of my lawnmower when I was like... So I was mowing, was it last week, 2 weeks ago? Something like that. So I had to do two mowings in 1 week because it was so bad. I had to like raise my mower up almost all the way. And then...
You have a push mower.
I push mow like 0.6
of an acre.
0.64 acres.
Yeah.
So probably after the house, we have 0.62 acres to mow. Well, there are a couple of obstacles. Anyway, but I push mow it all. It's self-propelled push mower, so... Don't be like, wow, he pushes so much. No, I just walk behind a mower for 0.64 acres. And so I pushed it all and out on a really high setting and then waited a day because I didn't want to mow like right again because that can stress the grass out, at least so I've heard. So I waited at least, I did that on Monday, waited a day, and then on Wednesday I was mowing again to get it back down to like the normal height. And then a wheel just fell off. It broke.
Pop.
It was a plastic wheel, and it's one of the drive wheels, and we have a pretty bumpy lawn.
Yeah, we have moles.
It's like, well.
Because we have grubs.
And the back was probably never, ever smoothed since the house was built.
Probably not.
There'd be no reason for anybody to, unless they really wanted to get into lawns, and by the looks of the back, nobody ever got into lawns.
No.
unless they really, really loved gardening weeds, in which case, maybe.
Look at these lovely weeds.
Yeah.
These thistles are so great.
Well, there's not a ton of thistles back there. There's really not a ton. It's not like full of thistles.
But if you
I go to our back lawn, I can look around and see places where it's just thistle, and that's not our yard.
But if you went back there like I did several weeks ago, planning on hand pulling the few that came up and then seeing the magnitude of all that was back there and then seeing the little kids' feet like just walking around and every step they were about to step on one, I think you would notice them.
I think probably
more.
In total there's 100 thistles. Whereas like in a dense patch of thistle, there'd be 1,000 plants all in one.
They're pretty big plants.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, they've just never grown tall like the neighbors. I think that's what you're thinking. But if we let them, our backyard would be thistle patch.
Maybe. Maybe we should try it.
No, we should
No, we should just take care of it, which we're going to do on Monday.
Yes.
So we have that coming up.
Thanks to church family.
Yes, we appreciate that. It's also Memorial Day, so we'll see. I might go disc golfing, but we'll see if we have time. We might end up just spending it with some friends. I mean, if I did disc golf, that would also be with friends. But either way, there's much more stuff going on because we've had some breaks, but we'll leave it there for now. Unless you wanted to talk about what else you had down here.
No, we could talk about that another time.
Okay, we'll save it. All right, so into what we're learning. We both read a book. I've read it twice now. It's called, I think I've mentioned that I finished it.
Yes, I think so.
It's called Raising Kids in a Screen-Saturated World. It's by Eliza Huey.
Yeah, I think so. That's
I don't know if I pronounced that right, but that's what we're going to go with. See, last time I was smart enough to look up the audiobook and listen to how they pronounce the author's name. I was not that smart this time.
That's okay.
Of course, there might not be an audiobook.
I don't know how many other pronunciations there could be. It's H-U-I-E, Huey. Yeah. That makes sense.
It'll be linked. Probably.
Yeah.
If we can find a Faith bookstore link, then we'll use that just like we have been. Not sponsored.
No.
But they don't sponsor anybody. It's put out by the... Who is it put out by? Because there are like three names on here.
Oh,
so it's by 10 Publishing, which is a division of 10ofthose.com, and it's also through the Biblical Counseling Coalition. So I'm not sure which of those is from or partnered by. One's a division, so I'm not entirely sure what all is going on, but... it's put out by those types of people. Hopefully that's helpful.
Sorry, you're just a little loud right there.
Oh, I don't know why I was loud. Yeah. Sorry. But yeah, the title is Raising Kids in a Screen-Saturated World. So this is a very short booklet. I'll give a page count since apparently
that's
a thing.
How we've been doing it.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I am. So here it is. 68 pages. I don't include the ads in the back for
but
other books.
But the print is pretty large too. Yeah. And the chapters are short and chewable.
I think sitting down and reading for an hour, you'd get through it.
Oh yeah, that's how I read it. Like, the kids were out playing in the rainbow rice, and I just sat and read it in one sitting. So.
I don't think that the viewers, well, most of our listeners probably know what rainbow rice is. But
oh, I just color with some rice with food coloring. It's basically their sandbox that I can bring inside when we're done with it.
Yep.
That's it.
Yeah, it's very approachable, get through. I mean, I've read through it twice, and if I read through a book twice, it's pretty short.
Yep.
Or I really love it. But there aren't that many books
Did
that I've read
really
through.
Did you really like this book?
I said, or I really love.
Oh, okay.
That'd be the only reasons I read through a book twice. I'm trying to think if there are other books
Two-wheeled
that
Two-wheeled thunder.
I mean, scripture. I've actually read through scripture more than twice. But what other books have I read through more than once?
That one I just said. The Two-Wheeled Thunder one that you don't let me get rid of. It's old and crusty.
It's old. You can't find it anymore. It's out of print, probably for good reason.
I tried putting it.
But
yeah, I don't even know what it's about.
We should read through it sometime. Maybe that'd be good. Should. That'd be super easy for us to, like, I can read a chapter a night or something.
So
out loud.
Let me finish Harry Potter by myself,
and then
we
can do Two-Wheeled Thunder. Okay. Anyway, we're not talking
what
about
what we learned
reading.
From this book.
Yeah. So this is very much, it's within a series about raising kids. And this one particularly is dealing with kids and screens.
I think he said in the beginning of the book, he was gearing it more towards phone screens, not necessarily TV screen, monitor.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is a very broad thing to think about.
Just phones.
Yeah. Because phones do a lot of things. Phones aren't inherently good or bad, but he touches on that. She. It's Eliza.
Why did
you
I
said
think,
he? Yeah,
I'm
you
sorry.
Me off.
I think the whole time I read the book, I was thinking male author. So gonna have to rewire my brain.
Okay.
I think I was thinking male because in our family, you're the tech guy and you understand phones. And if our kids have questions, I know I'm gonna direct them to you.
Yep.
And so I think I put that on the author, and it's a female. So let me just rewrite my brain here.
Yeah, you have to reread the book again. Okay, we'll be back in an hour after she read the book.
Okay.
Yeah, so the series focuses on a lot of different things. They're like short little, jump starts to thinking on
yes.
it. It's a jump start to thinking about a thing. And they freely admit that this isn't the be-all, end-all of everything you need to know about a screen. And they even point you in some helpful directions at the end and throughout to different resources.
Mm-hmm.
One is a book by Tony Renke, 10 Ways Your Phone is Changing You, I believe is one of them.
Okay.
And another one was a podcast, which I actually listened to. I don't know if
I told you
that or not. When I was out mowing, not with the time my mower broke, but a couple times before that,
okay.
I listened to the podcast about technology, which is funny, listening to a podcast about technology.
Yeah.
But they mentioned that at the beginning. It was pretty funny. But they went through some things. It was okay. It's kind of dated by now.
Mm.
But it's still worth listening to. Some of the things you'd be like, oh, that's kind of funny because that's totally irrelevant.
Mm.
But the principles behind what they're talking about are not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same thing with this book. So even if 10 years from now you pick this up, you're like, wait, what? These are things that we don't even encounter anymore. But the principle of how to parent hasn't changed. And that's what they're going to try to get to. They do touch on some more practical things, which the practical outcomes of things may change down the road.
Mm-hmm.
But the principles behind parenting don't. One of the first things I noticed on did you want to give a quick outline or is that even helpful?
The two main passages, because I know she mentioned them a few times.
Oh, yes, yes.
Was Galatians 5:13, for you are called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another.
Mm-hmm.
And then Deuteronomy 6:5-7, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise.
Yeah.
And she referenced those a few times. So those were kind of the main passages.
Yep. Two very, I'll say very different passages. Everything's connected. But the Deuteronomy passage talking more about parenting, definitely dealing with this is a principle regarding parenting teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one regarding freedom
loving
we have as believers and how to love others.
Yeah.
Yes. Those are some of the things. Those are the two passages she touches on. Wow. Maybe I do need to slow down. I forget to look at my note. All right, so she has, there's an introduction. There's a couple of introductions, as most books nowadays have.
Mm-hmm.
There's tip one, model digital discipline and courtesy. That's chapter one. Chapter two is tip two, when to give a device to your child. No, she doesn't give you a number.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter three is tip three, remember you are the parent. Chapter four is tip four, know your enemy. And tip five is enjoying and engaging with screens. Then she has a chapter on lives shaped by God. A couple notes on keeping the conversations going, resources for further reading, and then references.
Yes.
So there's your broad outline.
So we're just going to talk about something that stood out?
Yeah.
Or, I know one thing.
Yeah?
Remember you are the parent chapter? That was helpful because growing up, I remember thinking as a child that I had these rights to whatever it was. We didn't really have phones.
Yeah.
So it was more thinking in the case of just parenting in general that I was thinking about this, that I have a right to go to youth group or be in this class, those things. And now as a parent, I can see, well, I'm the parent and I want to guard and guide my child's heart. Mm-hmm. So if what I think is best is taking away this or giving that,
yeah,
that I'm the parent and I'm doing this because I love my child. And hopefully I can explain that to them. They might not like it,
yeah,
but I'm still the parent. And just because they don't agree with it doesn't mean that's right, yeah, or wrong.
Yeah.
So,
One of the things I underlined in here, and I think I know where I was going with it, I hope. She mentioned older parents feel the gap. Oh, sorry. Parents differ in their experience with technology. Older parents feel the gap and would readily classify themselves as digital immigrants, easily lost and confused in a world that is always on and connected. But even younger parents who don't remember life without connection to technology soon discover that their children advance much faster than they do when it comes to the world of technology. Now, whether or not your children advance faster than you do, might vary from person to person. I don't know. Maybe I'm just blind to the fact that all children are going to be better than me at tech because I just have young kids. I don't know. But yeah, either way, I appreciated her use of the term immigrant because that's a term that I totally get. Not because I am an immigrant. I have worked with many immigrants, mm-hmm, probably legal and illegal. But that aside, I understand the concept of an immigrant.
Mm-hmm.
And then for her to take that and apply it to technology,
yeah,
I was like, oh, that makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
That helps me better grapple with either what my parents might feel like, because I'm relatively young. I mean, I'm 25. So I'm like, some people will be like, you're such a young whippersnapper. And then some kids are like, wow, he's so old. He's, yeah, a dad. Because there are some people to whom I've always been a dad.
Yeah, it's true. That's, I mean, weird to think about.
Yeah.
Man.
Or just because of how far back their memories go, even if they're like 5 or 6 years old, I may to them just, oh yeah, he's a dad. Of course he's, yeah, a dad. And that's how I'm thought of. So maybe to some people I'm thought of as an immigrant, even though I'm really not, but it put it in better terms how to help me understand what some people who don't work well with technology might feel, mm-hmm, like. The struggles that they might go through are the same that immigrants might go through. They have, mm-hmm, to learn how to navigate in a digital world.
Yeah.
Yes, it's more complicated than that. Maybe it's not more complicated than that. It's more complex than that. It's more nuanced than that. But that's a very good starting point for thinking about the world of technology. And I appreciated her use of immigrants.
Yeah.
That was a small thing.
Another one, at the end of each chapter,
mm-hmm,
she gave a question just to think through.
Oh, yeah.
And one of them was,
wait, is this for chapter one?
No.
Okay, I had one thing on chapter one.
Oh, go ahead.
And then we'll get to your questions.
Yeah, sure.
So tip one for chapter one here was model digital discipline and courtesy.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks about, well, modeling digital discipline and courtesy for your kids. She'd mentioned, one of the things on here was that if we think we might be interrupted, so like if a phone is on the table, even, mm-hmm, if it's upside down, even if it's completely silenced, even if it's actually turned off, if people perceive either consciously or subconsciously that we might be interrupted, we keep conversations light on topics of little controversy or consequence. Even a silent phone disconnects us. I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's always true or not, the fact that it could sometimes be true is like, oh, maybe it's easier to just leave it in my pocket.
Yeah.
Silence my smartwatch, not wear my smartwatch if I'm going to a meeting, if I know that I'm going to check it as soon as I feel a vibration, mm-hmm, or something like that. But the chapter was called Model Digital Discipline and Courtesy, but I put parentheses around the digital.
Mm-hmm.
Not parentheses. Yeah, parentheses. It's like a
little half smile.
Yeah. Yeah, half smile or half frown, however you look at, mm-hmm, it. So that it reads Model Digital Discipline and Courtesy, because for our kids, we need to model discipline and courtesy.
In general.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if we're modeling that in general, it will spill over into our digital,
right,
discipline and courtesy. And I wrote up at the top of the chapter that, hopefully I can read my own handwriting, because I wanted to jot down a thought because, I'm going to butcher this quote, but that's okay. The faintest ink is better than the best memory.
Hmm.
Have you heard that quote before? Like
the Phineas Dink?
Even the faintest ink.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow. Maybe I did need to repeat myself and slow down.
Okay.
Is better than the sharpest memory. So like even just super...
Oh, written.
Yes.
Versus...
To have it written down in, mm-hmm, some form is better than, yeah, even really smart people's memory.
Yeah.
So I wrote it down. I wrote down that phone/screen use and regulation is not and should not be divorced from the rest of your biblical parenting.
Right.
I'll read that again because it's kind of wordy based on the influences in my life. It's not like highfalutin language, but
just
it's slightly wordy.
Okay. Your, no.
Phone/screen use and regulation is not and should not be divorced from the rest of your biblical parenting. To put it another way, phone/screen use and regulation will flow from the rest of your theology of parenting.
Yeah.
It's not separate from, it's not, oh, well, I have a theology of parenting in screens and I have a theology of parenting in the rest of life. It's not. They will affect one another. You can be inconsistent between the two. You can refuse to see or miss the connection that needs to be there. That's possible that you're blind to a connection or you don't want to make a connection. But in general, it's not and should not be completely separate because you're parenting, whether your kid is using a phone or a tablet or watching TV or playing in the backyard or running down the street or learning to ride a bike. It's parenting. It's teaching in some form. And yes, there are differences in specific actions we might take, but our theology of how to teach and train kids will inform all of those things. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
All that to say, our digital parenting, how we parent with digital things shouldn't be separate from and shouldn't be viewed as separate from the rest of it. And they're not saying that at all in this book. I'm not trying to put words in their mouth saying, well, this is how you should parent in the digital realm, but the rest of the time, they're not saying that at all.
Mm-mm.
They're not trying to draw a dichotomy here. They're not doing that. I just put it in there as a reminder to me and whoever else can read this book and my handwriting, which is very few people, as just a helpful note that, oh, bear in mind, this affects all of parenting, and this should flow from the rest of parenting.
Right.
So that was on tip one. You had something on the questions?
I had something on tip three.
Oh, okay.
The question, what assumptions have you made regarding your children and the use of their devices? Now, our kids don't really
Can you read that again?
Oh, sorry. What assumptions have you made regarding your children and the use of their devices?
Oh, yeah.
Our kids don't really use devices right now. But I know that an assumption I might be tempted towards in the future would be that they know as little about them as I do.
Oh,
like growing
I didn't
up,
think about that.
There's no way I could have done half the things that I've heard teens do.
Yeah.
Like pirating things. I don't know. Yeah. I just remember going to the library and like searching on YouTube, and I didn't even know what to search for, that I would just like search songs that we sang at church and listen to them.
Yeah.
That's about the extent of what I did as a teen.
You did not. Yeah.
So I'm too trusting. Yeah. I just think that my child is going to have the exact same knowledge about it as I am.
But
and
they're
just
growing up in a very different environment
right.
from you. For a very specific example, you did not have internet at home. We
right.
do have internet at home.
Mm-hmm. So that's already going to be a big difference.
You had probably a total of 3 devices in your house that could have connected to the internet had you wanted them to.
Probably.
And we have probably 30.
Yeah.
Including a plug in the wall for the
what?
Lamp.
You could scroll Facebook on the
no,
wall
but it's
plug?
Connected to the internet.
Oh, well, yeah.
It doesn't have a screen, but it's connected to the internet.
But all they could do is turn on the light.
Yeah, I know.
They're going to hack our house.
I mean, yes, our house can be hacked.
Okay.
But I can unplug the plug. That's yes. a sidebar for another time on technology.
Anyway,
but either way, the
I'm super
environment,
thankful to be married
yeah.
to you because I can just like, Daniel, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. But that brings me to another point. One of the things I outlined here, is it this one? Yeah. So this was in chapter 2. She said, begin to bring to light what life will look like when they have a device. Chances are you'll be paying for the phone, so you certainly have the right to lay out guidelines. But even if they're paying for part of, or all of it, you are still parenting them. It is appropriate for you to be fully involved in the process. That's not the quote I was looking for.
Oh. Well, that was a good one.
Yeah.
So y'all should
I had it underlined.
You had a lot of stuff underlined. You're like turning the book 90
yeah,
degrees. Yeah, because
I wrote stuff.
Sideways?
Oh, man.
I'm sorry you can't find it.
Yeah, well, I wrote in the margin here, but I don't know what I was pointing to. So the what I wrote in the margin was that you can't do this. Oh, yeah, yeah. Setting guidelines. Laying out guidelines. You certainly have the right to lay out guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
That is the quote I was looking for. I just didn't realize
yeah.
it.
Oh.
So I said, you can't do this if you don't understand the tech yourself.
Right.
if you don't, I got to be careful how I say this, because I don't want to actually speak something that's wrong. I got to make sure I think through my statement all the way. But if you don't actually have a desire to test boundaries, because I don't have the same desires and passions as a 4-year-old, as an 8-year-old, as a 12-year-old, as an 18-year-old. If I'm 65, mm-hmm. and my desires and passions have changed so much that I forget what it's like mm-hmm. to be young, mm-hmm. I will forget what boundaries need to be there.
Mm-hmm.
If I also don't understand what's possible with the technology,
yeah.
it'll also be much harder for me to think of what boundaries would be helpful for that child, right?
Yeah.
So if I don't understand the technology myself, it's going to be much, much more difficult for me to set boundaries and for me to be helpful to that child. It's not impossible. And thankfully, we have a local church, right? With
yeah.
other people who probably understand that stuff and can be very helpful. But if you don't understand the tech yourself, it's also going to be very hard to help the child. And then on the next page, that was another note. I was looking for the one, I wrote something about old people.
I think that's what I was thinking about. She writes somewhere about that you need to train your kids on how to stay safe on the internet just as much as you need to train your kids to look both ways crossing the street.
Yeah, here it is. It is only when we have taught our children and mentored them that we allow them to set off on their own. Yet mm-hmm. far too many parents are sending their children into an increasingly digital... I'm going to slow down and read that again because I was mumbling.
Oh, okay.
Yet far too many parents are sending their children into an increasingly digital reality without proper training, without biblical instruction. If I want our children to use their technology well, if we want them to use it for God's glory, we need to be willing to teach and train them.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote, and grandparents wandering into the internet without training.
Right. Which they, assuming they're from a Christian family, maybe
yes.
not, they have biblical background.
Yes.
I'm thinking particularly my grandparents. But yeah, they still need to know about scam emails for
yes.
Kohl's gift cards like I keep getting.
I don't know why it's just your email.
No,
it's getting lit
know.
Up right now.
I don't know.
It's hilarious, though.
I don't do anything.
Every
Maybe
time
you
I see just a random
me.
Block of text, and I'm like, well, that must be Desiree's email.
I'm not signing up for anything.
I don't know. Somebody is.
But
it's pretty funny.
So, yeah. But I feel...
To be clear, there is a difference between raising kids and caring for grandparents.
Right.
We obviously recognize that.
We're talking about the safety side.
But it brought to mind that, man, if our kids don't know how to navigate this well, they're growing up in this age and they need to be taught how to navigate things biblically.
Mm-hmm.
But they also need to be taught how to navigate that web. Grandparents, assuming they're biblical, older people... I'm gonna use the category that I'm just defining now as older people that don't understand the internet.
There you go.
That could be applied to people my age that don't understand the internet
yeah.
as well.
Sure.
But I'm specifically talking about people older than me over whom I do not have authority.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And that do not understand the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, take the phrase do not understand the internet however you want. It doesn't matter. You'll figure out what I'm talking about. And don't take me to say something I'm not trying to say. Anyway, they also might need some help navigating the internet. Now, they won't need as much help, probably, Lord willing, in using wisdom.
Right. That's what I was trying to say.
But they also may need help understanding what's a scam.
Yeah.
To use a simple example. There may be other things, but like, what's a scam? What's trying to take advantage of them? What's actually unhelpful? Just walk mm-hmm. into things because of naivety.
Yeah.
I think that's the right
word.
It's
like teaching your kids. It's
yeah.
Seems as simple as teaching your kids look both ways before crossing the street.
That's what I was thinking of. Evaluating a source. That's something that we did
yeah.
in high school, in grade school.
Yeah.
We would go and look up sources and they were like, hey, here's how you evaluate a source. And we had we had logins to a bunch of academic resources online, which were very new at the time.
You just have to decipher between blogs and...
No, like we had a list of here's Britannica Online, here's Gale,
okay.
like University of mm-hmm. wherever, their academic resource library, and we had logins to it that the school paid for.
Huh.
So we could just get onto those and find sources on those only. And we weren't allowed to just use Google. But we were taught how to evaluate if we just pull up a web page on Google, how do we know if this is a trustworthy source?
Yeah.
Now, it's interesting thinking back through that, how a secular school with a secular worldview would say this is trustworthy.
Yeah.
Right? Basically, it was other people accept it.
Oh,
if I were to actually boil down their philosophy of what makes a trusted source, it's a lot of other people agree with this.
Okay.
Now, those people might have a lot of degrees, but it's why do they have those degrees? Because broadly, the community as a whole, the world as a whole, America as a whole, whatever, has accepted that this is true.
Yeah.
So basically, it's crowdsourcing.
Yeah.
Truth.
Okay.
The what is that rule of many or There's some phrase for, like, basically the majority determines truth or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it is. I'm sure we talked about it in philosophy, but either way. Yeah. But there is some help in knowing how to determine whether a source is actually legitimate or not. And there are ways to know more or less legitimate sources.
Yeah.
But that's something that both kids need to learn and people in general need to know how to navigate the internet, whether it be a child or a grandparent. Both can have the same struggle in that specific regard.
Yep.
Thankfully, grandparents have a little bit more wisdom, at least.
Mm-hmm.
And so that can be applied. And that is one of the things that you need in evaluating a source as well.
Yep.
Those were a couple of things. Do you have anything else you wanted to point out?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Those were a couple of things that I learned. Overall, yeah, I'd recommend the book. Is it for everybody? I mean, I put it higher on my scale of 1 to 10 if you're a parent with kids than if you're a single guy in college. But if you're a single guy in college, it's not unhelpful because, well, you might be in a local church. And let's say you're me and you're in college and you're involved in a local church. Are there people around you who don't understand technology and who might want a young person's perspective on technology and understanding desires, gateways of a younger person, ways that you might poke holes in technology that they would never thought of? Could I be of use to them? And could a book like this inform me well in how to help them? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to put it above other books that I would recommend on, like, church membership, even, because I would, at that point, me in high school, probably need to know about church membership and church discipline and
it's
deacons
a very
and pastors
focused
and
topic, yeah. topic
it's a very narrowly focused
yeah.
book. So I mean, as far as, like, everyone should read this book, well, no, not necessarily, but if you're wanting to think through that specific aspect of parenting, or if you're like, hey, we're going to be parents at some point, put it on your reading list.
Yeah,
say, hey, yeah, our kids are going to interact with the internet at some point. Our kids are going to interact with screens at some point. So how can our broad theology of parenting play into screens? Okay, yeah, it's a helpful resource. Or somebody's asking specific questions about, my kid's turning 12. All of a sudden, they know what a phone is. Or in our day and age, my kid's 2, and all they want to do is watch Cocomelon. Okay, well, start reading. Start thinking about screens. Yeah. Start thinking about usage of the internet. Start thinking about navigating with so much information, people, things. Yeah. Sorry, is it pretty late?
Yeah, it's already
9:41. It's 9:41, okay. Not 9:45. Oh, it's 9:40 according to my laptop. Everything's disagreeing. Well, we should just take a census. I just hit restart, so I don't have any notes anymore. It's okay. I know the one thing I finished reading.
Go ahead. I've been reading Little Women, enjoying it.
Being convicted by it,
but also...
I was joking. You weren't actually convicted, right? Remember you were talking to me in the car earlier today?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
You weren't going to expound at all?
I was going to talk about that.
Oh, okay.
I was going to talk about something else.
Okay.
I struggle with books like this because they talk about the highs and the lows of these women growing up, these girls growing up and getting married and being engaged and all that stuff.
Okay.
But it doesn't show, like, the day-to-day, I don't want to say boring, the plodding of life.
Plodding is a very good word.
Yeah. And so sometimes I struggle reading books like this because I enjoy them and I enjoy reading about these people's lives. But then I look at my life and I I don't want to become discontented about it just because I'm reading this book. And that's a temptation for me. So I have to really guard my heart as I'm reading this.
And how many more hundred pages would it have added?
What?
How many more hundreds of pages would have been?
Yeah. Like if they just went through, I swept and mopped and vacuumed and cleaned a toilet today. It was great. Thanks, Lord. So if I had a daughter that was struggling with being discontent about their life, I probably wouldn't let them read the book.
I wonder if there are ways that authors can well represent monotony.
There is a book that I can't remember. It was Hannah something that I read that was very just
Hannah
like...
Hannah Coulter?
No, maybe it wasn't that. I think it's on my Amazon list. I could pull it up real quick.
Okay.
You could say your books.
Well, I can chat about that. Yeah, I wonder if there's a way for an author to well represent like... that this was a period of time in which life was very monotonous and this is how the person handled it without taking 300 pages to do so. I wonder if there's a good way for an author to express and convey those types of feelings. I mean, that is kind of an author's job, is to convey those feelings. Would it be very difficult to express that much of life is just regular plodding along? I mean, okay, now that I'm starting to think about that, there's probably passages in scripture that talk about that. But I wonder if there are books that do well at portraying that aspect of life throughout the plot of the book. I don't know.
Yeah, it was Hannah Coulter, novel by Wendell Berry. I listened to it on audio, and it was literally her life, and it did well at explaining just like life.
Okay, you know? Yeah.
It wasn't all dreamy and only the highs and lows and keeping you on the edge of your feet.
Yeah.
Edge of your seat.
I mean, if you want to be on the edge of your feet, that's fine too.
And then the other one is Little House in the Big Woods with Sophia, and I only have one chapter left, so.
That's pretty close.
Yeah.
I finally finished 9 Marks of a Healthy Church. Can I see your phone? I don't know if I'm signed into Google Play Books on that or not, hopefully.
I think so.
Because I wanted to remember what edition I was reading, because there are like forwards, and then a forward to a forward to this edition, and then a forward to this edition.
Oh,
and
my.
Then, okay, here it is. Hopefully it doesn't start playing. Got it. Yep. Okay, don't play out loud, please. You just finished. Yep, show me details about this book. There we go. So it is, 9 Marks of a Healthy Church by Mark Dever and H.B. Charles. It's narrated by Marcus Jackman. That's always going to throw me off, by the way, because that whole time I was like, oh, this is what Mark Dever sounds like. No, it's not.
Oh, no.
It's the narrator. Why can't I see details about this book? Which edition is this?
Why does it matter?
Because I want to know what edition it is. I think it's like the 6th edition. Okay. Anyway, I finished it, all the forwards and all the indices as well, because there were several like...
Is that how it's pronounced?
Indices? Is like the plural of indexes?
Is indices? Oh.
I know it's not indecencies. I think it's indices. N-D-E-X-E-S. Indexes or indices?
Are you going to play it or what?
Well, I looked up the wrong thing. I don't know how to use technology.
Oh, no.
Pronunciation. I don't know. I can't find it very fast.
Wow. Okay. That's
Sorry.
Fine.
Either way, that's how I'm going to pronounce it. And somebody can come at me in the comments, which we don't have. But they can send me an email if you want.
Apple Podcast.
Yeah, but I don't check anything on there.
Was
that a child?
Or was it my foot?
Oh, you're squeaking on my...
Maybe it was my foot.
Okay.
I hope it wasn't a child. Anyway, maybe we're getting sidetracked and we need to wrap things up.
I finished that up, and then I want to go through that book a chapter at a time, go through each mark that Mark has for a healthy church.
So we need to buy
and
that.
And then probably... Well, I have it on audiobook, yes, but we do need to buy it.
Yeah. I'd really like to buy the set, but I think it's like...
Set?
Really expensive. You can buy like a box set of all the little cute 9 Marks books. Deacons and Evangelism and...
Oh, this is the 9 Marks of a Healthy Church book.
I know.
It has that too?
I think so.
You'll have to show me. Maybe we'll find it. Maybe we'll get a nice set. Everybody shows their nice like Hobbit Lord of the Rings set. We're going to have a 9 Marks set.
Yeah, but I think it's really expensive.
That's fine. It's books that we'll use. Well, it depends on how expensive. We'll figure it out. Yeah. Either way, finish that. Hoping to go through it. I would share thoughts on it, but I've already we've talked a lot about 9 Marks things. And it was interesting to hear the Thinklings just put out shout out to Thinklings Podcast. They just put out an episode with Charlie and Tim, and Charlie went to a conference, I believe. Did you listen to this one at all?
No.
Oh,
I don't
okay.
really listen to them much.
But he had not heard of Nine Marks, but kind of not heard of Nine Marks before.
Oh, really?
It was hilarious. And I was like, how in the world have you not heard of these people? But he had interacted with their resources and been like, oh, I didn't know that was a resource by them. And, oh, I didn't know that was a resource by them. Or, oh, I didn't know this is how they worked. So it was interesting to hear his almost fresh perspective after he actually attended the church, Capitol Hill Baptist Church.
Oh, okay.
Where Mark Dever pastors and all the authors are elders, or at least were. So it was interesting to hear, and I wonder if they'll chat about it a little bit more, but it was super interesting because I've delved into the Nine Marks world quite a bit, and go listen to their episode on it. It's the most recent one as of recording, but it'll be one of the most recent episodes. Go listen to it. It was very helpful, especially because they talk a little bit more about their eschatology and ecclesiological differences from what we might be used to.
Yeah.
We might be used to. I'll say those terms loosely.
Right. Yeah. Our church,
eschatologically, yes. Tim pointed out a pretty big difference. Ecclesiologically, yes, there are some differences, but they'll be talked about more probably. So okay. I'm not saying they do things right. I'm not saying we do things right, but I'm saying it's worth chatting about those differences to see why they're there, what's the thinking behind them, and I'm sure we'll get into them as we delve into that book at some point. And hopefully we can have some people on to talk about it. Because
that would be fun.
It would be very, very helpful. Anyway, that should do it for us.
Yeah.
It's been fun recording again. Hopefully you guys enjoy listening to this one. But until next time, keep serving.
Or start serving.
Within your local church.
Bye.